Welcome to Financially Ever After, your podcast for navigating the financial side of divorce. I'm Josefti Cruz, and I'm here with my co-host, Jade Eagles.
We're here to remind you that divorce might be the end of one chapter, but it's also really the start of a brand new journey filled with hope and growth.
Each episode will share practical tips for financial empowerment and insights to make this journey a little less daunting.
So thank you for joining us and welcome to Financially Ever After. What are we here to talk about today, Joe?
I am so excited to talk about splitting the assets. What I would envision you saying, cutting the cake, but it sounds like you wouldn't actually say that. Maybe?
So I'm sharing the cake? I think I'd be eating the whole cake.
Okay, so we don't want to eat the whole cake when we're splitting the assets in a divorce.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Potentially.
Yeah, good point.
You got to share it. Split it. Yes.
That's fair.
So what does that mean?
Well, we're going to kind of talk about, you know, what to keep and what to kind of let go of. Okay. So there's going to be some things that maybe you have a personal, you know, sentimental sort of connection to. Others are just...
maybe you care less about it. Yeah, you're like, you know what? If it makes you happy, keep it.
Yeah.
Right? And then there's other things that maybe require more negotiation.
Yeah. So we're also then going to talk about some more terms. We've
lots more vocabulary. Yay.
And that's important because, you know, not only are we going to be talking about and referencing that in this episode and future episodes, but, you know, it's going to be part of that, you know, as you go through divorce, you need to understand what these terms mean.
So that you can be informed and make good decisions.
We're going to talk about marital versus separate property.
What the heck is that? And then we'll talk about also equitable versus community property, aka 50-50.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. And then if we have time, because we know this is a big subject, we're going to try to get to some tips and tricks, or that can spill onto another episode. We'll take it from there. We'll see.
Yeah. Let's kind of dig in there and we'll see how we go.
Yes.
So I think when we look at, you know, splitting of assets, it's probably going to be one of those hardest, probably
potentially contentious
parts of a divorce. Why is that? You know, it's because you're having to now divvy up. Is that a term that you guys use here? Divvy
yes.
Up? Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Divvy up, you know, assets that you've either brought into a marriage or that you've acquired during the marriage.
And have attached emotions to.
Yeah.
Right?
I
want to hug my house.
Yeah.
Some people like to hug their house.
Yes, I want to keep my pizza oven for me. Yeah.
Right. We'll talk about that. Yeah. But potentially, this could be a really highly emotionally charged part of the divorce process. We feel like if you go in more informed, potentially it could be calmer and hopefully more amicable. So at the risk of aging myself, I already forgot who the actors are, but does anyone remember the movie War of the Roses? Do my gray divorcees remember War of the Roses from the 80s, where the couple kept fighting and fighting and fighting over their house, and then finally they died with the house because I think it burned down or exploded or something.
Oh, damn.
We would love for you to not go down that way.
I know when you mentioned that to me, I had no idea, actually.
Yes.
I must admit.
Yeah.
But I'll go check it out now.
War of the Roses. What not to do. Yes.
Did they need someone to help, you know, mediate for them? Did they use a mediator? Did they have a professional helping them out?
I don't remember. I watched it when I was like 10.
Okay.
So, but yeah, it left a lasting impact.
Have to go check it out then.
Yes.
See if I can learn anything from it.
All right. So I had found a quote and a stat, I guess, that I find relevant to this subject matter. So, excuse me. Sally Krawcheck, who is a very famous, at least in our world, financial professional, and she is the head of LVEST, which is a women's financial network. Mm-hmm. In an article, in an interview, she said, "The other mistake is getting to the negotiating table and not recognizing where all the money is."
Mm.
And then she also highlighted the fact that, unfortunately, over 70% of women encounter negative financial surprises when they get divorced or their spouse dies, according to a 2019 UBS study. UBS is a financial firm.
Yeah. No, and that kind of really, those both of those tie into each other now, don't they? So But yeah, that's, I can believe that. Yeah. You know, not really understanding what assets you've got. And I think part of that is that in different, you know, with households, maybe one person takes the lead, or I think you even talk about it
being like CFO versus non-CFO spouse. Yeah, yeah. So chief financial officer of your household. So yeah, typically in a household.
Hopefully they don't describe themselves as the CFO.
I'm the CFO.
That's right.
Yes. But typically there's one person that probably takes on more of the financial responsibilities of the household than the other.
While they're a couple, yeah.
While they're a couple. But I think what's important to note is if you're going through this divorce, whether you want to or not, you will now be the CFO of your own household. So it's better to get started right now.
Yeah.
And just know what you've got and what you're working with and what needs to be divided. There's probably always going to be some kind of surprise during a divorce, mm-hmm. but let's lessen the probability of a lot of surprises, I think.
Yeah.
So diving into that vocabulary lesson, Jade.
All right. So let's kind of kick off with that first one that we mentioned there, which is marital versus separate property. And so let's kind of look at what that means. So separate property, I guess, at a high level, is an asset that you either maybe brought in to the marriage, so that you had prior to the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
It can also be an inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
Either before or during the marriage.
Yep. Same with gifts.
Yep, as well as gifts.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So that would be kind of counted as separate property. Well, I think we'll kind of break that down a little bit further there. But and then marital property is, think of it as an asset that you've brought in to, you know, while you've been married there. So it could be contributions to your 401k that you've or your spouse has made during the time that you're married. It could be a lottery win. That would be nice.
Or property or assets that you bought during the marriage. Right. The, you know, typical one would be a house, or if you have a business with equipment bought during the marriage.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
So that would be the difference between marital and separate property. People can get into a bit of trouble with, like, maybe bringing something that was a separate property and co-mingling it into an account. Into a marital property. And, you know, that other spouse might think, hang on a minute, that's now both of ours and we need to split that. That's not necessarily the case.
But it does muddy the water and it makes things a little bit more complicated. Yeah. So just as a quick example, and we'll get back to it in a second. But for example, you have $5,000 that you had before marriage and you two open a joint account and you figure, you know what, I'm going to just deposit it into our joint account and I'm going to close my separate account.
Mm-hmm.
So that's commingling,
yeah.
Right? So not necessarily lost for good, but, right? So we'll talk about another vocabulary term later in a little bit called property tracing.
Yeah.
But for now, we're going to go on to the next term, equitable versus community property, or also known as 50-50.
Yeah. At a high level, I think we're looking at, like, different states. So, you know, various states here in the US view division of property differently. So you could be in a community property state. We're here in California. California is a community property state. And that's where it's going to be viewed as, like, 50-50.
Right. So we're talking about these terms are specific to how property is to be split between a couple.
Or assets. Assets are to be split.
Assets to be split between a couple.
Correct.
So there are specific states that do specific things.
Yeah. So community property states, we've got Arizona, we've got California, Idaho's one, Louisiana. What are the other ones there, Joe?
Nevada, New Mexico, Texas, Washington, and Wisconsin. And then there's some other interesting ones. So Puerto Rico follows community property principles, but I'm not sure why
it's phrased that way,
but it follows community property principles.
That seems like it's been written by a lawyer or something. Right? So, and I don't have any clients from Puerto Rico, so I actually haven't researched that further there,
right,
what that actually means.
And then in Alaska, another interesting one, they can decide if they want it to be considered community property or something else. And then aside from those states, you can assume that every other state defaults to equitable.
And what's equitable, Joe?
Equitable
is... that equal?
Not necessarily. It's what is deemed quote unquote fair. So
subjective,
more subjective, but you know, it just depends on a lot of things. So for example, future earning potential of each spouse and whether that needs to be balanced out, right? Just stuff like that. So the property doesn't necessarily get split down the middle 50-50, but for example, if you know, a stay-at-home spouse has to go back to work, we understand that maybe their earning potential is going to be more limited than the perhaps the spouse they put through school, mm-hmm. right? And makes a lot of money, so perhaps more of the assets would go to the lower earning spouse to offset that.
Yeah.
Right? And that would be quote unquote fair. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a little bit harder in an equitable state because it's like who decides on fair? But it is what it is.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think if you're to look at, you know, that you, if you are in front of, if you have got attorneys and you are going to court, that it's going to be the judge. Yeah.
Or you could be working with a mediator.
Mediator. And then the mediator's going to be leading that conversation.
Refereeing.
Yeah, being the ref.
There's also collaborative divorce. And I guess we're getting into different types of divorce, but collaborative where...
Adding some new terms.
Yes, we have two lawyers representing the two spouses, but instead of a judge, the four of you are working it out together in a room.
Yeah.
Hopefully amicably.
So yeah, that's kind of what equitable and community properties
yes.
are. We could probably spend quite a bit of time talking about, you know, examples there. And then the other one that we want to kind of touch on, and Joe mentioned it briefly beforehand, is property tracing.
Yes, property tracing. So that comes into the muddy water. So if, you know, a spouse had separate property, they got an inheritance, let's say, and they deposited it into the joint account, or maybe they use that inheritance to put a down payment on a home, joint mm-hmm. home, and now they're getting divorced. One could say that once it's muddied, that's it, it's marital property, but that is not the case. If you can actually prove via paper trail mm-hmm. that it was a separate property and that you put it in and it came from somewhere and it's obvious, not only can you potentially get that value back as your separate property, you can potentially get the growth on that piece as well. Growth meaning, let's say you put it into a house, the house appreciated, you're selling the house, you potentially can get that appreciation of that separate property that you had put in.
Yeah.
However, you know, if it's a higher value asset, I guess, and there's a lot more paper trail making that you have to do, I would say at this point, this is when you have to potentially think about tapping in a professional to help you to make sure that you can get that asset back.
Yeah. And there's going to have to be a bunch of calculations that are done as well then.
That's right. So yeah.
Probably something that you do need the help of a professional for.
Yeah.
Who does
yeah.
have that training there. So
exactly.
And then it's also being, I think, involving that professional is being that third party, you know, impartial person too.
Right. And what we mentioned in an earlier episode, professional in terms of finances, the financial part of divorce, is probably not your lawyer or your mediator. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Did you?
No. Let me back up on that. I thought that the attorney or the lawyer, when I was seeking advice, was going to help me with everything.
Yes. And would know everything.
Correct.
But I think that's also not fair for us to assume that, right? I mean, lawyers go to school for lawyering.
Yeah.
For law, right?
Drafting documents that no one can understand.
Yeah. I didn't know what a certified divorce financial analyst was. The only type of financial professional I knew about regarding divorces was something called a forensic accountant.
Yeah.
Which is almost like an expensive detective used for higher net worth divorces when someone suspects they're hiding assets, right? Yeah. They're supposed to sniff out the bigger assets and things like that. And those typically start at, I don't know, at the time, $20,000 just to hire them. And I wasn't looking for any money like that. So I was like, no, I could just do this myself. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that there were other financial professionals like a CDFA that just could be a couple thousand dollars yep. potentially, right? That you can consult with like a consulting
probably
attorney.
Probably more on an hourly basis, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
Depending on your needs.
I'm right there with you. I didn't know that either. And I think we were talking about this before the episode, that if I had known that. There's, you know, we always can look back and go, if
only
I had known this, I would have definitely sought the services of someone like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'll give an example. And, you know, so when we looked at, you know, splitting of assets, we spoke about marital and separate property beforehand. So, in my situation, I had sold, I had some stocks, which I had purchased long time ago, which had appreciated. When I moved over here to the US, I sold those with all that gain. And we then put that into a house for us. At the time, you know, when we were like dividing up assets, I was happy with just going, you know, we'll just split it 50-50, the gain there. Even though people had told me that, well, you know, if you'd actually done a bit of tracing on that, you probably could have, you know, peeled that away and even some of the gains, that extra gain that you would have received.
From your separate property that you put in.
Correct. But I think I had also been told some large number that you had just mentioned beforehand too. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to do it. I wish I had now, because then I was left with all these additional taxes for myself from selling all those stocks, which I had to cover 100% myself.
Right, right. So for me, and you know, we're sharing these rear view mirror type of stories with you so that hopefully it's not your rear view mirror, right?
You can see it coming up on the road and like plan.
Yeah, we would like
learn from our mistakes.
Learn from our mistakes and, you know, just minimize, right? Go in fully informed. So for me, a highly recommended consulting attorney that I did consult with for my mediation, gave me great legal advice about lots of stuff, but she misinformed me. She told me that I had no rights to the separate properties appreciation and that that had to be split. So I learned later that that's not necessarily the case, especially if you can really trace it back. And, you know, I'm not going to say that I blame her. I just understand now. Mm-hmm. That wasn't necessarily her job to understand fully.
Yeah.
Right?
It was your thinking that it was her.
It was my assumption that it was.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, that was, I won't say it was $20,000 worth, like the forensic accountant, but it was a good amount of money that I would have liked to keep for myself, right? That I had rights to.
Yeah.
And I would have liked to know that. And you know, Jade, you kind of knew that and you decided, right? You decided based on hoping for an amicable divorce. Fine.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But you should know what you've got and then make your decision, right? Instead of not knowing and then finding out later.
Yeah. Well, maybe I just made my decision too rushed as well, which we've spoken about beforehand, not feeling rushed into it, or seeking the advice of someone like a professional there. So they go, actually, you know what? Your emotions is telling you this, but no, you need to stick to this because, you know, you could be paying for that mistake, error.
Later.
For a long time.
Yeah.
Long time, yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about, well, we'll mention the financial affidavit.
Yeah. What's a what?
Yeah. Financial affidavit. That's something that it's basically the kitchen sink of your assets as a couple, no, of your finances as a couple.
And so, when are you doing that though?
We're doing that in preparation for the divorce.
Okay.
For the divorce.
Yeah.
We're going to only talk about one part though.
Yeah. Right so now. We're just going to talk about asset and what
assets.
Yeah.
And how to potentially organize it for yourself and for the process.
Yeah. And so I guess the first thing is what actually even counts as an asset.
Yeah. So let's give some examples, typical ones.
Obviously, you got your bank accounts.
Your home.
Your retirement accounts.
IRA, 401k, Roth IRA. Yeah.
Maybe some stock options.
Brokerage account.
Yeah.
Crypto.
Yeah. So they're the ones that maybe first come to mind.
But there's some other ones.
Yeah, there definitely is. So did you actually know that the system now, the law system is even counting as what they term a career asset. And so a career asset can even be down to like, you know, disability, health insurance, job experience. I don't know how that counts as an asset, but anyway, it is, you know.
It can potentially.
Yeah, potentially.
It's not in every case.
Professional contacts, education and training. So that can all count as what they call a career asset, which can be counted as.
And if there is something like that you think would count towards that,
just jot
it down. That's not a red flag, but like a, oops, might need a professional for that.
Yeah.
But then there's also some other assets, especially in this day and age, digital assets.
Yeah, I think
like a massive music library.
So much of what we have is up in the cloud, yeah, and stuff like that. So, yeah, you've got music, you've got ebooks, you've got social network accounts, websites.
Yeah, or, you know, either even your pictures, your family pictures. Who has that account that holds all the pictures?
Yeah.
And videos, blogs.
Yeah.
Even airline points and status.
Oh.
Amex credit card points. I love my Amex credit card points, let me tell you. Good thing it's all in my name.
But and some of these things can be divided, and some of them actually cannot be divided. So, for example, like if you've like saved a lot of movies on your profile on, you know, Amazon or whatever, you can't change it to another account. It's always got to be under that account there.
Right. So, right. It's like, who keeps that, right? And maybe the other person has to be compensated for giving up to them.
But there's a value to that.
Yes.
So, you know, when you're creating this, listing all your assets there, we really want to kind of break it down into different categories now, don't we, Joe? So
right.
Can you touch on what those are?
So if you work with spreadsheets or Excel, great. If you don't, get a piece of paper, create some columns, right? Mm-hmm. The first column will be the name of the asset. The next column will be the value of the asset, whether it's a dollar value or points value or miles value, whatever. And then the next several columns will be marital asset, separate asset of spouse number one, separate property, spouse number two. And then you check the box of who owns it, who owns this asset. And then you're just going to list every possible thing that you can think of and then take a look from there. So that will help in terms of just inventorying what's there and what needs to be divided or not.
Yeah.
I think that's a great first step. And oddly enough, one that's ignored. I need to do my divorce, this or that. I do.
Exactly. So yeah. I think, yeah, let's kind of table this for additional conversation, because we can certainly talk about more examples.
All day.
And I think it's worth it because at least me, I learned from, you know, previous mistakes and also.
And again, property is like a big deal.
So it is, yeah. So let's kind of like table this for a future conversation.
Yeah.
Because we've got to fit it time for divorce, this or that.
I think I went first last time, so go ahead.
All right. So the ones that I've come up with for you is going to be, you got to divorce either. So Jo has her fan favorites. So she loves Trader Joe's and she loves Target. I think she always.
Target?
Yeah, Target. That's what I said. Target.
Okay. Got it.
I speak English.
Okay.
English good.
Okay.
So you got to divorce either Trader Joe's or Target.
I'm going to divorce God because
don't you have stock options in Trader Joe's?
It does feel that way. I'm going to have to sacrifice the grainless granola and Trader Joe's.
Ooh.
Because at Target, I can still buy food and I can buy my cheap clothes. I don't know. I can't buy clothes at Trader Joe's.
You're divesting your stock options.
I know, but it's that grainless granola. Oh my God.
Right.
But that's what I'm divorcing. All right. You.
Well, you've got mine.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna get to you. So you're an outdoorsy type of dude.
That I am.
Yes. You have to divorce for the rest of your life. Dang. Beach or woods? Never again.
Oh.
Yeah.
Woods.
Really?
Yep.
Then you're practically giving up your adventure races, because like I feel like that's where a good portion of it is. So what are you going to do?
I guess I have to embrace the water more. But yeah, like I sail, I swim, I surf, I run along the beach. There could be big sand dunes that can turn into a mountain for me. So
all right.
I'll get back into scuba diving. Yeah. So that's what I would pick. That's a tough
one. That's crazy. All right. We are at the end of this episode.
We might be over time there.
We talked about splitting the assets. We had some vocabulary terminology.
Yep. We spoke about marital and separate property, community and
equitable states, property tracing, so much stuff.
And as we said, we're going to probably, you know, roll this into a separate episode there. So we're going to kind of dig into this a little bit further for you. But that kind of brings us up to the
end
of our
time. That's it for now. Thanks for listening.
Yep. And we'll talk to you guys in a couple of weeks then.
Jade and Joe are advisors of the WealthGuard NFS, an SEC registered investment advisor. The information is general and educational in nature and should not be considered financial, tax, or legal advice. It is not intended to serve as a substitute for personalized advice or as a recommendation or solicitation of any particular security, strategy, or investment product. Please consult with a qualified professional about your individual situation.
Advisory services are only offered to clients or prospective clients where the Wealth Garden Financial Services and its representatives are properly licensed or exempt from licensure. No advice may be rendered by the Wealth Garden Financial Services unless a client service agreement is in place.